We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, Sisex, Number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brahmanyo Anaya Bhuto Naber Vipro Mangala Pujita Yasya Barishi Yagnesham Dashayam Ashur Ojasa Brahmanyo na kuto na ber Vipra mangala pujitaha Yasha barhishi agnesham Dashayam asuro jasa Brahmano nyaya kuto na ber Vipra mangala pujitaha Yasha barhishi agnesham Dashayam asuro jasam Brahmanyo nyaya kuto nabhir Vipra mangala pujita Yasha barhishi agnesham Dashayam asuro jasam Brahmanyo niyakuto nabhir Vipra mangala pujita Yasya barhishi agnesham Dashayam asuro jasa Brahmanyo niyakuto nabhir Vipra mangala pujita Yasya barhishi agnesham Dashayam asuro jasa Brahmanyo nyakuto nabhir Vipra mangala pujita Yasya barhishi agnesham Ashayam asuro jasa Brahmanyo nyakuto nabhir Vipra mangala pujita Yashar barhishi agnesham Ashayam asuro jasa Brahmanya, a devotee of the Brahmanas. Anya, any other. Kuta, where is. Nabi, besides Maharaj Nabi. Vipraha, the Brahmanas. Mangala Pujita, well worshipped and satisfied. Yasya, of whom Barhishi in the sacrificial arena Yagna Isham the Supreme Personality of Godhead the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies Dashayam Ashu showed Ojasa by their brahminical prowess Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Boya Charanada Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The second prayer is this. Who is a better worshipper of the Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. Please repeat. The second prayer is this. Who is a better worshipper of Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. Purple. The Brahmanas engaged as priests in the sacrificial ceremony were not ordinary Brahmanas. They were so powerful that they could bring forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their prayers. Thus, Maharaj Nabi was able to see the Lord face to face. Unless one is a Vaishnava, he cannot call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord does not accept an invitation unless one is a Vaishnava. And therefore it is said in the Padma Purana, Shatkarma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharara avaishnava guru nashyat vaishnava shvapacho guru. A scholarly Brahman, expert in all the subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava. These Brahmanas were certainly very expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. They were competent in the performance of Vedic rituals. And over and above this, they were Vaishnavas. And therefore, by their spiritual powers, they could call the Supreme Personality of Godhead and enable their disciple, Maharaj Nabi, to see the Lord face to face. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakura comments that the word Ojasa means by dint of devotional service. Om Agyant Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalakayo Chakshuran Manitandina Tashmaya Shri Gurubhima Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shivashani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram. Who is a better worshipper of the Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. So here the old sages are offering these two prayers to the Lord, or offering the two prayers, in praise of Maharaj Nabi. Here they're saying that who is a better worshipper of the Brahmanas because he completely satisfied them by his worship and by his donations. The Brahmanas became satisfied and therefore the execution was successful. If the Brahmanas are not satisfied, then the execution will not be successful. and Vishnu will not manifest his full potencies there. So Maharaj Nabi was a king. He could perform these sacrifices in great opulences, give generously to the Brahmanas, make them happy in all respects. And therefore they got his blessings. We were in an installation ceremony in... near Pune, I forgot the name of the place. Anyway, Gurukul Maharaj was there with the, they were doing all the installation, all the rituals and everything like that. So Maharaj was speaking something, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. And he was talking about how the arrangements are nice, how they're supplying everything for the function, the installation function. And so then the function goes nicely, everyone's satisfied, the Brahmanas are satisfied, the deities are satisfied, the population are satisfied by the arrangements. And so then the blessings are coming. So he was saying, you know, that's the responsibility of the yajamana, or the person who's performing. He must make sure everything is there, otherwise if everything is not ready and everything is not first class, then there will be you won't get the result of the worship. Sometimes it says you shouldn't have too many brahmanas doing a particular type of puja, because they will start arguing among themselves. Well, you know, you got a little bit more dakshin than me, and I wanted to do that particular service, it's my speciality. And then they argue, and then you lose all of your credit, everything, the whole purpose of the function gets spoiled because the brahmanas are dissatisfied. Anyway, Maharaj was given an example. He said, we did one installation, it was very nice, they gave good dakshin and things like that. And of course, you need good dakshin. Some temples they go to, they just come in and do their service, and then there's, you know, bye-bye, and they get 100 rupees or something like that. But you know, when all these boys are setting up the jagana and everything, they go through about 2 dhotis each, I think, you know, all different colored powders, and they rip their cloth and cow dung and all things like that. But they even their cloth, you know, at least they should get remuneration for their cloth. So generally, when they first arrive, the yajamans or the devotees who are hosting the installation, whatever it is, you know, they give dhotis at that time, so then they can wear fresh dhotis during the jagannath, because they're going to destroy a few devotees, dhotis and gumchas and things like that. I mean, this is one little aspect. But anyway, Maharaj was saying that, well, he quoted, we went to another one, and we performed a similar one, but we didn't get in hardly any dakshin or anything like that. Hardly any facility. They don't make proper arrangements. There's, you know, where we're going to sleep, where we're going to eat, and things like that. And it's all done without proper understanding. And he said they were quite close by, these temples. The first one we did was very nicely arranged. The second one, he said, but now we see the first one is flourishing like anything, and the second one they're still struggling, although they were around about the same time, the insula. So he was accrediting it to be, they didn't satisfy the brahmanas properly. They didn't make all the arrangements, they didn't supply all the ingredients that were supposed to supply, and everything was penny pinching and things like that. So the brahmanas weren't satisfied, and he said, so even today they're having struggle in their temple. They can't do it, but the other temple was also nearby, same time installation, they're flourishing like anything, because they looked after the brahmanas. It was a nice lecture for Maharaj to give. I guess he got a lot of dakshin after that. but anyway, that's the idea behind it. If the brahmanas are not satisfied, then you won't get the fruit of your activities. So here the first prayer is, it was yesterday's one, who can attain perfection, the perfection of Maharaj Nabi? Who can attain his activities? Because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead agreed to become his son. Because of his devotional service, they're praising him, Maharaj Nabi. Because of your devotional service, the Supreme Lord appeared to agree to become your son. And the second verse of praise, actually it was the Brahmanas who did it. Actually, due to the due to worshipping the Brahmanas and satisfying the Brahmanas with proper dakshin and proper, that is why the Supreme Lord appeared. The first verse says he appeared because of Maharaj Nabi's bhakti, and the second verse is he appears because of the Brahmanas' potency. He satisfied the Brahmanas. So it's two prayers and different things here. But the idea is that You cannot separate the bhakti from the brahmanas. The brahmanas were bhakti, the bhaktas, Prabhupada. They were Vaishnavas. That's why it was most successful, because they knew what they were doing. But you cannot separate the two. You cannot separate bhakti from the bhaktas. Maharaj Nabi's bhakti, that's why the Lord appeared. But where did he get that bhakti? How that bhakti was manifested? It was from the bhaktas. The proper Brahmana bhaktas, they knew exactly the rituals, they knew everything. And by their prowess, by their influence, because of their contact with the Supreme Lord, they can ask him to come. Plus they follow all the rituals. They don't have to follow rituals, actually, one who is a pure Vaishnava of the Lord. They can just ask him to come. Can you please come and attend the sacrifice? My Krishna will say no. The intimacy is there. But to set example, they follow all the rituals and all the everything they're supposed to be doing. And then the Lord will come anyway, even if they don't have bhakti. We're saying bhakti is the main ingredient. Krishna only appears by bhakti. But what if you don't have bhakti? Well, hundreds and hundreds of temples in ISKCON were installing deities, and is Krishna there because he only appears with his bhakti? And the idea is, yes, he does appear. If you follow the rules, so you see they have so many rules, a very elaborate installation to Prampatista to install the deities, very elaborate arrangements are going on. And then the Lord is obliged to come. Now we can say the Lord is obliged. He's completely independent. He's completely free. He comes by bhakti. I haven't got any bhakti, but he's obliged to come because of my ritualistic activity. Is that right? Yes. He's obliged to come by the ritualistic activity because he made the ritualistic activity. He wrote the Vedas. He spoke the Vedas. So this is what you do. You want to install the deity. This is how you do it. You don't, may not have pure bhakti, but because you're following the instructions of the Lord, the process given by the Lord himself, then Krishna agrees to come. I spoke these words. If you do it like this, I will come. So if you do it like that, then he will come. Otherwise, why is he telling a lie? He doesn't tell a lie. And who has pure bhakti? So they're rare. So then we get these systems, Pancharatriki systems, which deal with many rituals, but because they're aimed at the Lord and they're given by the Lord and they're ordained by the Lord, then the Lord appears. Generally appears as the fire. He was a more special case. He was going to come as the fire anyway. Generally he doesn't come in person. But he appears as the fire. And then he accepts all the offerings through the fire. I saw one time here, long time ago, and Gaur, what's his name? ISKCON's first smarter Brahman. Oh, we're alive, I'm sorry. Gaur? Narayan? No. Gaur Keshav. He's like the pundit of ISKCON. He's very much associating with the Ramanujas and the Madhavas. Anyway, but he's, you know, like really into ritual. And we had, I can't remember which installation it was. No, it wasn't. Anyway, he did it all according to the Hari Bhakti Vilas and all the rituals and South Indian side as well. Anyway, he made a beautiful Jagannath Kund in the same shape of Garuda. It's a special one. It will make Garuda Jagannath Kund. So they put all the bricks out like Garuda's wings. And it was a huge, huge flame. It was almost hitting the ceiling. He was, but he followed everything carefully. He was making sure we got all the details. Then the flame was so big, practically you could see Vishnu, you could feel Vishnu. It's the only time I really felt the appearance of, oh, something like the Lord appeared. You could just feel it. Because he followed all the rituals very, very nicely. So the Lord is obliged to come and accept. So this is how he generally comes, as fire. But in this case, he was extra special. And he revealed, come in person, as he's in his original form of the Jagneshwara, Lord Narayan. So, yeah, so here we have, by the Lord's devotion, the Lord descended, and by the Brahmana's prowess, their devotional prowess, the Lord also appears. So he appears for both. So you cannot separate the bhakti from the bhakta. That is the, because Krishna says that I am to be known through the Vedas. Now, how is he to be known through the Vedas? Krishna said, Bhakti Mama Vijananti. Yes, I am to be known throughout the Vedas. How? By bhakti. Or, can mean bhakti Mama Vijananti, can also mean by my bhakta. I am known through my bhakta. So, both things are there. We can understand the Lord through the, through his bhakta. This is how devotional service is actually transmitted. It's transmitted through the bhakta. That is the medium of bhakti. It can come directly from the Lord, but it generally it doesn't. That's a very rare occasion. So bhakti is transmitted through the bhakta. From his tongue. His tongue is the carrier of bhakti. And when you can hear that the words from the pure devotee, that Prabhupada mentions in the last canto, well, when you hear the words of the pure devotee, because the pure devotee is always at the lotus feet of Krishna, then he picks up the dust from Krishna's feet on his body. Saffron dust particles, are, because he's always associating with the lotus feet of the Lord. So then he goes out and moves around and he's speaking, enlightening people. And that dust, which comes from his tongue, because he's telling everyone to chant Hare Krishna, the holy name is on his tongue and he's telling others to chant the holy name, because of the dust, saffron dust particles there, that enters into the jiva's heart and it awakens them. And Prabhupada said previously they weren't awake, and immediately hearing the holy names from meeting a devotee, they become awakened, although previously they were sleeping. It's an immediate thing. I think many people experience that when you come to Krishna consciousness. There's an immediate awakening, immediate awareness, immediate conviction. That is due to the saffron dust particles. Suddenly we were sleeping and now you're engaged 24 hours a day in devotional service. What happened? So that was due to the influence of a bhakta, hearing from a bhakta, and those saffron dust particles, they awaken the living entity. So the tongue, the tongue of the pure devotee is the upper hand of the holy name, the carrier. Everyone has a carrier, right? Vishnu has a Garuda, Ganesh has a rat, they have, Durga has the lion. So the holy name has, he has his pure devotee's tongue. He's the other hand. He takes him here and there. This is the only way actually that Krishna can go everywhere all over the world. It's piti riti chatavaka nagaradi gram sabata prachavoyamuranam. This is his desire. He wants the holy name to go all over the world. How's it going to go all over the world? Who's going to carry the holy name all over every town and village of the world? So it's carried on the tongue of the pure devotee. So Krishna is on the tongues. When you chant, others get influenced by that due to the dust particles that come from Krishna's feet. So this is the mercy of the Vaishnavas. They can immediately awaken one to their real Krishna consciousness. And if they're not Vaishnavas, it says here, if they're not Vaishnavas, they're not really even fit to become a guru. Shatkama Nipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada Avaishnava Guru Nyashat Vaishnava Swapacha Guru. Swapacha means dog eater. The scholarly Brahman is expert in subjects in Vedic knowledge. He is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But a person born in a lower family of dog eaters even. Swapacha means a dog eater family. He can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava. So, here is the difference, which is just between a Brahmana, can become a Brahmana, a Vipra, and a Vaishnava is beyond even. And it says that a non-Vaishnava cannot even deliver himself, so what to speak of his disciples. So even a person is very expert in all the ritualistic performances here. If he's not a Vaishnava, if he doesn't accept the lotus feet of Vishnu or Krishna as the ultimate aim in life, then he cannot deliver himself. So he cannot actually become a guru. This was the famous challenge during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's time. The Brahmanas were challenging him. He also gave himself the Brahman thread, and he gave to others not born in Brahmana families. So there's a big uproar amongst the Smarta community. So there's a big meeting here in West Bengal. And actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur was invited to that meeting. But the situation was very delicate because Bhaktivinoda Thakur's initiated guru, Bipin Bihari Goswami, he was from the Nityananda Vamsa. And there were some slight discrepancies in the way they were preaching. In fact, they were claiming hereditary rights to preach because Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda Prabhu to West Bengal to preach. So they say, we have that right, we're the followers, descendants of Nityananda, we're initiated into the Nityananda Vamsa, the Nityananda Sampradaya. So we have the right to preach. That's our right. No one else actually has a right. So of course this was against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Everyone has a right to. In fact, Mahaprabhu was ordered everyone in the universe to spread Krishna consciousness. There were a couple of things that weren't proper. And Bipin Bihari was also at the meeting, so it would have been very inappropriate or anyway, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur went and he spoke and his guru was sitting in the audience and he spoke against the Sampradaya and the teaching or the slight deviation, everybody would have said, you know, what kind of disciple is this? He's offending his guru. His guru is sitting there and he's... So according to the situation, it wasn't, you say, it wasn't politically correct for him to speak at that audience there. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, must be someone who can do it. Somebody must be able to go there and defeat them. Must be someone. Bhaktisiddhanta, he heard that and he took it to his heart. So he wrote some notes on this topic of Brahmana and Vaishnava. And he showed his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what he had written. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur read it. He was very happy. He said, truly Saraswati, Truly Saraswati. Truly, here is a Vaishnava. Truly Saraswati. Yes, you go and you can present these, your conclusions, you can present them at this meeting. So, you know, there's a book called Brahmana Vaishnava, that whole history is there. Anyway, he went there and he defeated and the Brahmana, the smarter Brahmana, and he established the pure Vaishnava teachings and behavior. He was very expert. First, he went there and he praised the Brahmanas like anything, and he was quoting from this Shastra, this Upanishad, that they didn't even hear to these Upanishads or different Puranas. They never even heard of them before, but they were really happy. Look what it's saying about being a Brahmana, being born on a Brahmana, and how you have so much facility. And so they're all really happy for the first part. Then the second part, and he said, yeah, that's how great the Brahmana is, how great the Brahmana birth is, how rare it, and how you really should take care once you've got a Brahmana's birth, at least, and Brahmana initiation also, once you become very serious about fulfilling the life's ultimate mission. So it is such a glorious birth, and you had the responsibility, the Brahmanas, they're the Aryans. They have the responsibility to maintain and spread this culture. So, after saying that, they were very happy. But then he said, then he brought, you know, the glory of a Vaishnava, who's actually a surrendered soul at the lotus feet of Krishna or Vishnu. And he is superior. And then the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri, is it that? I can say goodbye to all of my ritualistic activities, my three times sandhya, chanting Gayatri, even my morning bath and my ablutions, suchi, asuchi, and regarding what is auspicious, what is inauspicious, what is clean, what is unclean. I think it's not necessary for me anymore. Why? Because I've got a taste for the lotus feet of Krishna. I'm feeling some taste there. And now anything else actually seems a disturbance. All these rituals actually seem a disturbance. So I think I can say goodbye now to all these different ritualistic activities, which the Brahmanas should stick to very strictly. As long as they haven't got a taste for the lotus feet of Krishna, then you're obligated to follow all these rules and regulations. But so anyway, he was pointing out how a Vaishnava is supposed to be beyond even a Brahmana, is beyond the... Because the Brahman is still a material designation. He's in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is also a material designation. So even being a first class Brahman in the mode of goodness is still a material designation. Naham Vripcho Narapati, Na Vaishana Shudro, Naham Varani Tarva, Kintu Padan Nikila Parman, Gopi Pariya Kamala Das, and Das. I don't identify myself as a Brahmana, nor a Kshatriya or a Sudra. Nor in any of these situations in the modes of material nature. How do I identify myself as a servant of the servant of the servant? Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis in Vrindavan. So one who's actually got that taste, that's his identification, then he can forget his other identifications as a Brahmana and the rules and regulations that go along with it. He has no obligation whatsoever. That is stated so many times in the Shastra. But if one hasn't reached that platform, then he is obliged to follow these rules and regulations for himself and to set example. Anyway, it was a great victory for the Vaishnavas in that meeting. And there was a great roaring from both sides, from the smarter Brahmana side, great roaring, and from the others, the general populace, they saw it, he was defeated. They were defeated hands down, there was no question. So they were so elated. So there's a big tumultuous roaring was going on from both sides. They left that place, went into staying in one house nearby. But still there was big crowds outside and they were banging on the door and they locked the doors and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his disciples were in. Everyone was banging on the doors and trying to get in, and they said, there's a very really wild crowd outside, you know. They got a bit crazy. So then someone coming back with a message says, no, they're not angry with you. They're banging, they want to see, they want to take the dust of your feet. This is why they're all there, they're making a big noise. They all want to take shelter of your lotus feet. So he said, give them some dust. He said, no, I never give my dust to anyone. But the police said, you've got to do it, otherwise there's going to be a riot outside. There's thousands of people. He said, no, I can't do that. So then the policeman, he said, grab him. They grabbed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They put one big nuka, big pot, filled it with water. They picked him up and dipped his feet in the water. They said, okay, we can distribute this Charanamrita. All the thousands of people outside, they're all satisfied they got the Charanamrita of the great Mahajan, the great soul. So, anyway, we shouldn't act prematurely. We've been warned and warned again and again by Prabhupada. Don't try to jump over, don't try to act prematurely, even though you know the prayojana, the goal. You have to act according to your realization, otherwise you'll get yourself into trouble. So we act according to the rules that, you know, specifically what Prabhupada's given us. We have Pancharachaki Bidhi and Bhagavad Bidhi, side by side. Like Prabhupada says, like a train is running on two tracks. So we have two, Bhagavad Bidhi and Pancharachaki Bidhi. Bhagavad Bidhi means, practically, means hearing and chanting. More or less that's all you do in Bhagavad Bidhi, hearing and chanting. Pancharachaki Bidhi means rules, regulations, especially deity worship. So many rules and regulations. That's why it's a deity worship for neophyte, because we have to follow all the rules and regulations. So, Prabhupada said we follow both, like the train is running on two tracks, we follow both. We have our sadhana, Vedi sadhana bhakti, that is the Pancharachaki Bidhi. Rising early in the morning, taking bath, coming to the temple, attending Mangala Arati, etc. Then you have Bhagavad Bidhi is also there, chanting Hare Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam class, preaching, dancing in ecstasy and with the devotees, Harinam Sankirtan. So we're doing both, that's all Bhagavad Bidhi. But in Bhagavad Bidhi generally that's all they do, all the continuously, hearing, chanting and glorifying. But at least we do little bits, parts of the day we have that time for the Bhagavad Bidhi and time for Pancharachaki Bidhi, all the rules and regulations. And Prabhupada said that without going through the process of Pancharachaki Bidhi, it's not possible to come to Bhagavad Bidhi. Simply even because you know, I know it's just rule and regulation, it's on the lower platform, there's a higher platform. You cannot jump over to the higher platform without going through the lower stages until you become qualified by the process of Pancharachaki Bidhi or Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. One has to act according to his realization. Otherwise you get yourself into trouble, you get others into trouble. So these were actually qualified brahmanas. They performed all the regulations and they attracted Vishnu. Personally he came. So they were very, very highly qualified. And by their blessings, they induced the Lord to come. So even Maharaj Nabi, he could have a darshan of the Lord. By himself it wouldn't have been possible just to make the arrangements and the ordinary brahmanas, because he had these Vaishnavas there. The Lord was pleased. Oh, at least you're calling the Vaishnava Brahmanas perform the sacrifice, not the smarter Brahmanas. So the Lord is attracted by the Vaishnavas because they're always rendering pure devotional service. So Maharaj Nabi was always performing devotional service. Even when he was performing the religiosistic functions, he always remembered the goal, he always remembered the lotus feet of Vishnu. So all of his activities were devotional service. Prabhupada quoting yesterday's purport that work done for Vishnu, you don't get karmic results for it. So work has to be done for the satisfaction of Vishnu, you don't get any karma for it. So this was Maharaj Nabi all the time, in all of his activities he was remembering Vishnu. So that was Jagannath. He was performing Jagannath all the time, ritualistic activities, but he was always remembering the goal, he never lost sight of the goal, the satisfaction of Vishnu. So because he was always remembering the satisfaction of Vishnu, that was his, it said he was a pure devotee, because he remembered the purpose of everything, the purpose of the rules, the purpose of the functions, the purpose of the ritual, is to remember the lotus feet of Krishna. So he was doing that. So although he was maintaining the whole kingdom, so much responsibility he had, and so many aspects in managing a kingdom, so many aspects, you got to satisfy everyone. But in every aspect, he was remembering Krishna. So therefore, although he looked like he was performing karma yoga, he was actually performing pure devotional service, and he was a Vaishnava, and he was a pure devotee. So therefore, Vishnu agreed to come, because the king was also a pure devotee, and the influence of the Brahmanas were also pure devotees. And Krishna felt quite at home. I can come there. I can come there because they're devotees. They're thinking of me with devotion. They're not just the ordinary swaha swaha. And I come there and I won't feel anything from them. they'll probably ask me, give me this, give me this, give me this. So Vishnu felt quite a home to appear before them in his original form, because they were devotees, they were Vaishnavas, and they were performing his directions to perform the sacrifice nicely. So everything turned out successful. They had darshan of Vishnu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Thank you. Any comment, question?
I was going to ask, it says that, you know, Pancharatri Vidhi is somewhat lower than Bhagavat Vidhi, but it appears to me that Pancharatri Vidhi is so much harder to do than Bhagavat Vidhi. And, you know, sitting down and opening up the Bhagavatam is pretty simple. And, you know, going to a kirtan and sitting in a kirtan is pretty simple. Or taking part in a kirtan is really simple. But when you get into, you know, starting worshiping the deities, it seems so much harder. So why is the harder path said to be lower and the easier path said to be higher?
Thank you. Yeah, Bhagavad Vidhi, this is most natural, the most natural thing. It's the most natural thing. Bhagavad Vidhi, yeah. For the soul, it's the most natural thing. That's all the soul ever wants to do. That's all Krishna ever wants to do, is to exchange loving relationship. But if you haven't attained that platform, you haven't made that sambandha, you haven't made that connection with Krishna or with spirit, one aspect of Krishna or another, then you're obligated to follow these rules and regulations. So we need to engage our senses all the time. So this is what the Pancharatri Vidhi is doing, especially deity worship. It fully absorbs your senses all the time. You have so many things to do. So it constantly keeps you engaged in these activities so you never forget Krishna. That's the purpose of it. Bhagavat Vidhi means always remembering Krishna. Because there's attachment, you can't forget him, it's a natural thing. You can't forget him. You love someone, you just don't forget them, so it's a natural thing. So if you haven't got that natural feeling of always that you can always remember Krishna, then next best is never forget Krishna. So how you never forget Krishna? Wake up in the morning, take bath, put on the cloth, remember it, so you don't forget Krishna. Go to Mangalarti, so you don't forget Krishna. It's also you don't forget Krishna. So that's why there's so many rules, and it seems more difficult, but yeah, because it's an immature state. As long as we haven't made a connection with Krishna, we should consider ourselves immature. We don't know who we are, we don't know what is spirit, so we're immature. When one becomes mature, he understands spirit. So so that's why it's called, you know, it's for neophyte devotees. So we're engaging all of our senses, and then they become purified. So yeah, so Prabhupada said that what do you say? Oh yeah, because you've forgotten how to love God. We've forgotten our relation, our attraction to Krishna. We've forgotten that. So now you should learn how to respect God. So you become very serious about this sadhana process. It's all very respectful. Everything is very dumb, very honorable and respectful in front of the deities and everything. So first learn to respect God, then you can love Him, you see. So therefore it's essential and very helpful, the Panchrajiki process, the Vedisandha. It has to be there. Otherwise we won't become purified.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna.
He said that a devotee does not aspire for fame, profit and adoration. When the Brahmanas are dissatisfied in the Yagya, are they not aspiring for profit? What will make a qualified Brahmana?
I'm not getting the question.
What will make a qualified Brahmana dissatisfied during Yagya? When a devotee does not aspire for fame, profit and adoration. So if they are dissatisfied, are they not aspiring for profit? The Brahmanas. If there's no proper darshan during Yagya and they are dissatisfied, to me it seems they are looking for profit. So why are they dissatisfied?
I'm not getting the question.
Yeah. Because a devotee does not aspire for profit, fame or adoration. So when a Brahmana is dissatisfied, it looks they are looking for profit. Because there was no darshan.
Well, someone's got to do it. he's at least he's got the qualified brahmanas to do it, who are Vaishnavas. So they also they're doing it to set example. What do? What did Prabhupada say in Vrindavan? We invited all the Brajavasi brahmanas to come and install Krishna and Balaram. And they did an elaborate puja. And then inviting all the demigods as well was there. Varuna and Ganesh and different demigods. Went on for many days. Each day they had all new paraphernalia, pots. The brahmanas took the old pots every day. The next day you had to have new pots and brass pots. And Prabhupada said, actually, we would have been content to have Harinam Sankirtan in front of the deities. He said, but because all the local brahmanas, if we hadn't invited them and just did Harinam, they would have said, actually Krishna and Balaram don't stay there. Radhesh Ramachandra, actually they're not there because they're not qualified. They didn't install the deities properly. But Prabhupada said, that's why I invited all the Brajavasi brahmanas. So they did it in their process, but no, Krishna Balaram, you're a bona fide deity, Krishna Balaram is bona fide, Gonitai, Radhesham, bona fide, because we're the Brajavasi Brahmanas, we all. But Prabhupada said for ourselves, We could have just chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Nam Sankirtan. Well, that's the potency of a pure devotee like Prabhupada. They could do that. They're not dependent on the normal course of activity. But Prabhupada did get the brahmanas to come and do it. In Hyderabad also, in quite a few temples in India, he had Sampat Kumar from the Sri Sampradaya, who knew Prabhupada. He was very famous in rituals. Prabhupada always used to invite him, even today. But he, you know, like that was during Prabhupada's presence. When he is a pure devotee of the Lord, he could have just by his asking the Lord could have appeared here. But he went through the ritual to set example also. So it said that a person who has attained the state of pure devotional service and is on the platform of Rag Marg, when he worships the deity in the temple, he worships according to the rules of the temple. Even though he's not obliged to, still he respects the deity. This is the deity house, this is the way the deity is served, these are the rules and regulations, this is how he should be respected. So even a person who's beyond the rules and regulations, still he is obliged to follow the, serve the deity according to the Pancharatriki rules, because that's how the temple worship is established, for the deity in the temple. That's how we're going to respect him and serve him like that.
Thank you. It's not, my question is, a devotee does not aspire for fame, profit, or adoration. Mm. What will make a brahmana dissatisfied? Is he not looking for profit? If not, why is he dissatisfied? Nayadi.
No, he is. Brahmana means one who understands Brahman, so therefore he's self-satisfied. He doesn't mean it, but they collected all the dakshin. They were collecting, were pleased that he gave ample dakshin, they were happy. But what are they going to do with that dakshin, Brahman? They get $1 million today, tomorrow they give it away, Prabhupada said. There's a Brahmana, they will give it away in charity. That's the business of a Brahmana. He never hoards money. So he'll take it because that's a duty. And he'll be pleased. Oh, you give so much, that's more pleased. But he's not going to spend it for himself. He doesn't need it. He gives it away.
But if you make, you give example in Mumbai with Maharaj, you went to two places. Some place no proper arrangement. The Brahmana, they should always be satisfied no matter what situation. National or proper arrangement, elaborate worship or not, they should always be satisfied and peaceful. But they are qualified Brahmanas. So when they are not satisfied, it looks like they are looking for profit. It's a bit confusing. For a qualified Brahmana to be dissatisfied in a yagya, it's like they are looking for profit, material profit.
If I got your question, I don't know if I got it right. I couldn't hear very well. But the idea is that that everybody should do their duty perfectly. So if the king or the Ajaman is establishing the temple, then he should make sure that from his side everything he does is perfect. The Brahmanas are going to do their duty perfectly. So also the king or the who's establishing the function, he has to do his duty perfectly. And if he doesn't, then the Brahmanas, it's the duty of the Brahmanas. Why are you not doing your duty properly? So this peer pressure is very good. You have the Varnashram system, but you get peer pressure there. The Brahmanas instruct the kings. The kings are the controllers. But the Brahmana, because he is superior, he can instruct the kings and advise the kings. So peer pressure is there. All the way down, it's there, you know, down into family life. That's why parents should be very strict with their children. Very strict. It's their duty. You see something going wrong, you should correct it immediately. So everybody does their duty nicely. In the Varnashram system, if everybody doesn't do their duty nicely, it doesn't work. It breaks down, the whole system breaks down. You have to do your duty very nicely. So therefore, if you see someone not doing your duty, and you're in that position, you immediately correct them. So there's always that peer pressure. They're always being corrected, how they should look after, do this, do that, bring their children up. then the whole system works nicely. But if the authority is not followed of the Vedas, then the whole thing breaks down. The whole Varnashram system breaks down. So it's a question of doing the duty. We had it 2 days ago, that same question. The answer was duty. He was doing his duty perfectly. So like that, everybody has their duty to perform. And then everything goes nicely. And if it's not going nicely, then someone should complain.
Anyone?
Someone should complain. In Jagannath Puri...
May I ask a question?
It's a little bit famous for its irregularities in timing and things like that. Sometimes Jagannath's 1 o'clock at night, he goes to bed or something. But they have different festivals. And they have different families who take care of the different functions of worshipping Jagannath every day. So, it's just like Chandan Yatra. Then the deities go out to the Chandan, the Randa Sarovar, they'll go on the boat and their boat ride and everything. So there's certain pandas, a family tradition, they will take the palanquin, they will take the small deities of Krishna and Ram, Balaram, and Madan Gopal. Madan Gopal is also, yeah. So they take the small deities on the palanquin, and then they have different places they meet, other deities come, and they have different points of worship and things like that. So it's all done by different families. So when they're going along, and then they wait, and then someone's going to come out, say the deities, and they come out, they're not out. So they wait for them to come out. And another place they're going to receive some worship, but there's no pujari there. They wait. Oh, where's the pujari? Nobody knows where the pujari. Okay, we'll wait until he comes. They don't just go, oh, let's forget him and go ahead with it. Because if they do that, then everything will get lost. And the pujari will never come any time. So they're prepared to wait their whole day, whole night. Until that person who has that function of looking after the deities comes and does his part. So there's a lot of peer pressure there, and everybody's upset, and everybody's shouting and screaming at this guy. Where all the services interfered with, so that next time he's never late. Well, it must be early because I get so much problem. So it's a good system that they have there. They have their duty, but we're not going to do anything until that has been performed. But sometimes you see the bow goes on late, the pujari doesn't show up. That's why it goes on late at night sometimes. You're waiting for prasadam sometimes. And there's no saying what time he's going to come out in the evening. But it's a good thing, the peer pressure is there. And so everybody gets on everybody's case. So it's good. Hare Krishna.
Sorry, when there is a... when there's... Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavataka Vidhi. Sometimes it's, it's not so easy. And Krishna is gone more now that it's becoming a bigger institution and more institutionalized and maybe in some sense a bit more impersonal. And I don't know, it's just a saying. But how do you find your way? Your path in Pancharatrika Vidhi, and what happens when there is envy in our spiritual practice? What should we face it?
I'm sorry, I'm not getting it. I couldn't quite get the. You heard it?
Question. There was a few questions. He was asking, if I got it right. There's the Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. And ISKCON is a very large institution. How do we know exactly how to engage? Also, there's impersonalism, and how do we deal with impersonalism and envy within the practice of those two paths? Is that?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
How do you find your way in Pancharatrika Vidhi? How do you find your way in Pancharatrika?
Find a way. Okay.
Institution.
Yeah, but it needs training. Everybody has to be trained. You have to know what Pancharatrika is. You have to know what Bhagavad Vidhi is. You have to know all the rules. You have to know how to keep yourself clean when you from beginning of waking up in the morning. How do you purify your consciousness when you wake up? You have to chant Hare Krishna immediately. Then you offer obeisance to the Guru. Identify yourself as his servant. What is thy service throughout the day? No, every aspect of Pancha. You understand it and then you follow it. It's there for our advancement, for the slow progression of purification. If we don't know it, then it's going to be really slow. So it needs education. Everybody has to be educated. What is Pancharatrika Vidhi? What is Bhagavad Vidhi? Then when you know it, then you can apply it. It needs... Education is the thing. The big society... It needs... Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitaigo Premanandi.